Blog Talk Radio.
That was very interesting. I apologize for the extended music play. The studio is not working, and I didn't seem to have any way of ending the music. So, very interesting. It's been, and we're a little late. Des, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
Okay, now I can hear you. Well, yeah, so interesting. So, I'm feeling like this is a really awesome topic. I'm super excited to talk about conscious relationships and how we can heal ourselves through relationship. And I know that we're going to probably need to continue this conversation next week already. But anyway, I guess we'll start the conversation. And how are you feeling about this, Des? Now that we've lost 10 minutes of our time.
Oh, well, I think it's actually perfect, you know, in its apparent chaotic craziness, just like Trump being elected initially seems like chaotic craziness, but it's also perfect in its own way. I think having our weird little radio mishap with the lead-in and the timing of things, and it's perfect for some reason. And I think what it is, I mean, we're talking about conscious relationships, and we're talking about how to create that and healthy boundaries and all of those things. And really, this is a lovely metaphor for that because, you know, we had some bleed over and we've had some lack of, but couldn't stop the music, didn't have any boundaries there. We weren't able to enforce that.
This
so,
is true,
yeah,
very true.
Yeah, let's talk about relationships. And you know, I'm assuming that this week we mean that on a literal term, like, you know, relationships with other human beings, not just relationships with money or with our work or with ourselves, but, you know, with others, right? Friendships, romantic relationships, parenting, that kind of thing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's always overlap, right? The relationship that we have with ourselves and with money and, you know, all of our relationships, how you do one thing is how you do everything. And so, relationships provide just an awesome opportunity to really look at yourself, see yourself. I've actually learned how to get pretty excited when I get triggered in a relationship, because then it's showing me a wound that I have that I might not have known was there otherwise. And I know between you and I, we've both had a lot of interesting background in the relationships that we've moved through, and lots of, you know, lots of heartache, lots of tears. I think we've both really learned how to move from that fear-based relationship, a lot of fear, a lot of expectation and obligation and disappointment and self-betrayal, which of course shows up outside yourself, and then into something both of us are in, very conscious relationships, very committed to growth and just really being present with one another. And it's so different. And I really wanted people to know what's possible. Like, this, it's incredible. And I feel so much gratitude every day. I'm feeling like, you know, there's always opportunities for growth. And it's so beautiful to be with someone that is so incredibly present and really knows how to hold space and just be with me so that I can just hear myself and see myself and, you know, see my woundedness too that still creeps in every so often. So I wanted to just, you know, share with people a little bit about our transition and how we've kind of moved into this place, and it has taken work. Do you want to talk a little bit about your background? And because I know you're in a really beautiful relationship and I witnessed it, I can feel the energy of it. It's amazing. And I know that you've been through a lot, and you've really, really committed yourself to working through everything that came to the surface and to looking at things like deeply, which takes a lot of courage. So, yeah,
that
tell us more.
So thank you. I love that you're putting me in the hot seat. Okay, so what keeps popping up that wants to be said is the word habits, and how it's really easy to develop relationship habits. And by that, I also mean feeling habits. So to feel a certain way in a relationship, and it gets to be habitual. And when that happens, then we'll recreate things to continuously feel what our habit of feeling is. And so for myself, to put this in a context, I have a habit of feeling like my mate doesn't want to be on the journey with me, or that we're just not on the same page, or I want to grow, but they don't, or golly, you know, why couldn't I just find somebody who I don't have to fight with to be going in the same direction or whatever. And so my first marriage was very much that. I completely, regardless of whatever its original building blocks may have been able to be built into, what I built it into was what I expected, which was to be let down. At that period of time in my life, I had a lot of self-betrayal, and so I had a lot of infidelity myself, and was betrayed over and over as well myself by my mate in different ways, you know, like broken promises is a type of betrayal, or failing to, you know, complete agreements and that sort of thing are all betrayals. And so my personal growth as I've worked through my maturation process regarding relationships, like, you know, and by relationship, I mean partner, like life partner, husband, you know, that kind of thing, has been this developmental recognition of the need to be aware of these habits of mine, this habit to think a certain way or a habit to expect to feel a certain way, and catch myself as I start to slide into that pattern and question if it's true. Like, is it true that this person's not on a journey with me? Is it true that I'm always let down? Is it true that I can see the bigger picture and they never can? Like, are those patterns true? Something that comes up, I hear all the time with people. It's almost like a, some kind of a group thing is like, let's get together and bitch about our husbands, about how they never pick up after themselves, or they always leave the toilet lit up, or they never, they always let me down. They're just another child, or the biggest child of all. And it's like continuing to say that amongst your girlfriends, it's like deepening and entrenching this idea that your mate is always an annoying older child that you have to mother, and he's always leaving a mess, and he's always a pain in the ass. And it's like, is that the kind of relationship you want? So for me, it was like, you know, my mate is never there for me, or he doesn't understand me, or his issues are getting in the way of my personal development. And so the process has been about catching myself having those thoughts and then asking if it's true. And you know, there's this fine line to walk, because sometimes it is true, you know, but other times it's like, no, I'm trying to make it true. And so to learn to discern, is it the person or is it me trying to create something that's not there just so that it is my pattern, it's my habit, you know? And so now I'm in a relationship where we both have a high enough degree of consciousness that we can catch each other as we sort of fall into our habitual patterns, you know, whatever that is, the woe is me pattern, the nobody really gets me pattern, the I always have to do all the work pattern, or the, you know, whatever it is, whatever that, you know, we do attract mates that trigger that so that we can question, is it true? And do I want to keep living it out? Or do I want to put my big girl pants on and tackle my own belief to a degree, and or do the really hard thing and ask for what I want. So instead of whining about what I don't have to my girlfriends or whatever, getting the courage to say, I need you to fulfill this obligation. Are you up for it? Or I want to have a certain degree of freedom in my life, or I want to have a certain amount of love in my life, or a looseness around certain rules, or I want tighter rules, you know, and to be, have those conversations and get uncomfortable and risk possibly being told no, you know. But conscious relationships is about having those conscious conversations with each other and being self-aware and being aware of your self-talk, right? And your habits of thinking.
Yes, absolutely. Wow. You hit on so many good things that we could explore and expand on. But yeah, this conscious relationship is, it's such an awesome opportunity. And like you said, all about just being deeply vulnerable with the other person and willing to expose yourself and how you're feeling and what's going on for you. Admit it to yourself, admit it to your partner, because really it's just like admitting that you're human. And so have that deep compassion for yourself at the same time. That these imprints, these belief systems around love and around relationship stem from your own childhood. And so I find it really helpful to often kind of go back to my childhood and, you know, and what was I imprinted with as far as love and relationship goes, you know, because my parents, they weren't vulnerable with each other. they did complain about each other in front of us. And mm-hmm. and I found that I was doing the same thing. I was like looking for the red flags, you know, initially in relationship, looking for the reasons why it wasn't good enough, why this person wasn't a good fit. And just really, especially when I was feeling insecure about myself and not really loving myself, I would go right into this mode of complaining and blaming and projecting my stuff. Well, it must be their fault. They make me feel like I'm not important. They don't really value me. And yeah, feeling betrayed, feeling like they don't see me. And then it's so cool though, because that's the way that I finally realized, oh my gosh, how can I expect somebody else to see me if I'm not letting myself be seen? Like, it's really me who's not seeing me. It's really me who's betraying myself by not speaking my truth, by not being vulnerable and sharing, hey, you know what? I know this is my ego, but this is what's going on for me. Can you just hold space for me so that I can hear myself? Because women really do process out loud. At least I do. And I know we were talking about that, and you said you kind of, yeah, you do that too, which can be frustrating for men because they want to make everybody happy. You know, they want to help. And so it's our responsibility to say, no, I mean, I just need to hear myself. And so have that bridging conversation and just say, I need to process. I need to hear myself. I know that a lot of this isn't true, that it is coming from ego. So can you just hold space for me? And I'll ask you if I want, you know, your opinion or some assistance or some help with this. But really, we just need to get vulnerable with each other and communicate effectively. And that's the, you know, listening from your whole body, just that full presence. And so practicing listening from, I call it, I guess, heart-centered listening, rather than listening to respond and to help and to fix. And I think that's one of the biggest killers of relationship that I see over and over, and that I used to do, was I'd go into coaching mode. And there's no gurus in relationship. It's really important to not try to coach or fix. Like, get out of that fixing, helping mode in relationship. That's not your job. Your job is just to love and support your lover, your beloved, to be there for them, to see them, to be with them, to be curious about them, present with them, and see, you know, see the divinity and the perfection. But as soon as we start to think that we have their answers, think that we know what they need and try to solve their problems, it's a pretty quick love kill. and at least in my experience, because I tell you, when I didn't have the self-love that I have right now, I would use that as evidence that I wasn't good enough. So as soon as someone would go into, you know, coaching me, or you need to do this, or why aren't you doing that, or, you know, making these suggestions, sharing their opinion of what I needed or what they thought I needed, I would think, okay, see, you think you're better than me. I would use it against myself, like, so there is something wrong with me. I am broken. I do need fixing. This person, you know, you don't trust me that I can look after this myself. And yeah, so I actually used it to abuse myself. And now I recognize kind of where it comes from, so I don't do that anymore. But, you know, I catch myself sometimes wanting to go into that coaching mode, like, and thinking that I know what's best for someone. And if you think about it, that's really quite impossible. I don't reside in their body. How could I possibly know what's best for them? Like, we are our own healers. We need to heal ourselves. Only we know what's best for them, and whatever's best for them is actually what's happening. Like, I really do have this deep trust that everything happens perfectly. And it's happening because it is what's best. It is what's needed. And it's not always pleasant. but there's a purpose in our pain. And so I've really learned to look for the, you know, the purpose in our pain and what wound am I carrying that I'm feeling so triggered or so angry right now. That's my wound and it's mine to heal. And thank God for the beautiful relationships in my life that do trigger me and show me my wounds and what I'm still carrying, often from way back, that isn't, it just, it isn't true. Yeah, crazy, eh?
Yeah, so some things are coming up for me. I wanna pick your brain about regarding that. So how would you define the difference between a relationship that triggers you in a healthy way to sort of give yourself an opportunity to have a look at yourself and where you might be, you know, having some, let's call it old school clutter to clear out, right? Some limiting beliefs or some imprints that aren't serving you versus one that's just really, it's abusive, you know, like it's just always, like, how would you define the difference between those two things?
Yeah, good question, because I know some people have said, like, what are you saying, that I'm just supposed to let people walk all over me? I mean, I'm being abused, right? But, you know, if that's your belief that you're not good enough and that, yeah, you're being abused, usually it's you abusing you, too, in order to attract that energy. But at some point, yeah, it's important to ask. I ask the question, okay, what would love do? If I really loved and trusted myself right now, what would I do? Because love wouldn't stay in a relationship that is abusive. And so even if it is just a reflection, what's outside is reflecting what's inside. Sometimes in order to heal ourselves, we need to distance ourselves. And we can't just be stuck in this, you know, abusive self-abuse and outside abuse, this situation that just keeps feeding off of one another. So we need to distance ourselves and save ourselves. And that's what love would do, is sometimes take that space and recognize, okay, this is too much of a trigger fest. And I need the space to heal and to see what's actually going on. Because if you just keep staying in a situation where it's this constant, you know, triggering or abuse, then it's just going to be too difficult, too overwhelming. And so that's not healthy either, of course. Like, now it's kind of few and far between the triggers in my relationship. And I'm like, oh, wow, like, I'm really pissed about this. This is exciting. Whoa, what's here? Like, what am I telling myself that I'm feeling so pissed off? And then I get to reveal what some of those beliefs are. And is it serving me? Do I want to keep this one? Or is it time to let it go? But I think that's such an important distinction, you know, about abuse. Does that answer your question? Just, you know, if I really love and trust myself,
so.
What I do right now?
I think the question, why I bring it up is because for myself, I stayed in what was an abusive relationship for a very, very, very long time because, you know, at first I didn't realize it. And then once I started to become more self-aware and I'm like, I'm just being triggered. This is just my stuff. It's not him. It's not him. It's just me. It's all my triggered stuff. And then eventually I got to this place where it was like, well, even if this is all me, I just can't stand this anymore. Like, I just feel like I'm under attack all the time. I feel like I'm unhappy all of the time. I feel like I'm catching myself having those thoughts all the time about I'm not understood, I'm not liked, there's no space for me. And moving away and ending that relationship was a huge catalyst for a lot of enormous personal growth. Like, I started that personal growth within the relationship, but getting rid of the relationship to as much as I could. I mean, it was... my baby daddy, you can only go so far, right? I mean, with having kids together, it's not one of those relationships that you can just ditch altogether. And our journey, that particular relationship journey, is, you know, really come full circle at this point, because initially I was afraid to leave because, well, what if he's actually really good? Like, what if it's just all me? And what if I'm going to give up the best thing that ever happened to me because I don't see the truth, or because I'm the one that's making this bad, or whatever? So for a very long time, I was afraid of thing, what might possibly be, quote, the best thing in my life. Then
yeah.
I took this enormous, I felt was risk. Yeah.
I was just going to interrupt because we are, the show is going to end, so the people that are listening live are going to get cut off. Tune in next week. We'll continue, but yeah. Okay, go ahead.
So then
the show's over now.
Okay, goodbye show. But then
the live listeners have now been cut off.
Mm-hmm. Well, they can definitely hopefully they'll come in and catch the last part of our show here together and get the final conclusion of whatever it is for the show. But then it turned into me risking losing what might possibly be the best thing in my life, which was a huge act of faith because I was really afraid. But I knew in my heart, like, and I couldn't tell you how, like, I don't know how to describe what that was. I just knew on this deep level that leaving was absolutely I wasn't running away from something. Right, I wasn't acting out of fear. I was acting out of love by leaving that relationship and by establishing some boundaries around it, by basically saying no to it. And what's really, really fascinating is now fast forward 6 years later, and we have established healthy boundaries, and it is warm, and it is, but it's not, you know, because the other thing I want to bring up is, like, so we broke up and then we got back together and then we broke up and we got back together is because I was trying to find what is appropriate boundaries with this person. Like, mm-hmm. what is boundaries established out of love and not fear with this person? And it was a trick. Like, it was a lot of work to figure that out. But I feel like now we've found a way to have a friendship that doesn't bleed into something that's like a lover relationship. It's just friendly. But that's an authentic
right.
thing. Like, it's not, I don't feel like I'm fighting something. I don't feel like I have, like, I legitimately am so grateful that I'm not married to him anymore. And what's really interesting is I actually find it a lot easier to appreciate the unique qualities of him now that I'm not married to him. That, you know, it's like, oh, I really can admire his particular, you know, his likes and dislikes, his value system is, it's like, oh, that's very interesting. You know, like, I don't feel the need to ruin it or squish it or push it away or make it different to fit mine because we're not together anymore. And so would I say that was all the right move? Yeah. So it's like, not all relationships are meant to stay together, but learning to know should you separate and to what degree and how do you, you know, do you disappear out of each other's lives forever? Or do you stay as friends? Like, there's just so much there. Like, we could talk about relationships for like months.
Yes. Well, I have a feeling we're going to have to continue this conversation because I kind of sat down with this yesterday and I thought, well, I'm just going to see what's there, you know, as far as my own relationship journey and, you know, what is my wisdom gained and what is the secret? Because people, you know, people will look at you and Kevin and Cal and I and kind of go like, what the heck, right? Pretty amazing.
It is.
And yeah, and it didn't happen overnight. And there is a lot of, you know, baggage that we were carrying that we've released.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think it's such an important conversation because I do really just want to invite people into what's possible. And often in their existing relationship, I mean, there is so much potential and you don't always have to leave, you know, it totally depends. Sometimes that is what love would do. Sometimes it's not. But
yeah,
I'd love to continue this conversation next week and just really fleshing out what a conscious relationship is. What does that look like? What kind of how do you cultivate that?
Yes,
that, you know, that happiness and that honoring of the one you're with and of yourself, because really it's the only form of rejection is self-rejection. But we go in and we have this fear of abandonment and of rejection. And once you let go of that, that's huge, and get really curious about the person you're with and, you know, stop trying to fit them into your mold or see them through this. So there's so many things that came up for me when I was reflecting on this. And I think I wrote 10 pages just last night.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. So, yes, I do want to continue this conversation. And And I'm glad we, even though we started late and it's been very interesting energy today, with the switchboard not quite working properly and having to play that whole entire song. And we started the conversation. And so we'll just invite our audience to join us again next week, where we talk about our journey, about conscious relationships, and maybe in the steps, like how, when you do get triggered, I'd like to address, okay, what steps can you take to identify the wound and to heal that? So, yeah, thanks, Des. Thanks for sharing.
Thanks, Jerry.
A bit about your journey, and you are fabulous. I totally love and appreciate you. Love and appreciate all of our listeners. Thanks for tuning in and for your patience today. And we will connect again next week.
Bye for now.
Have a great day. Yeah, bye-bye.